You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to another positive and victorious post-game episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official flagship. Today's episode is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at MyBookie. Visit their website at mybookie.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and from there, MyBookie will match your initial deposit with up to a 50% bonus. And this week, you can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million NCAA Bracket Challenge. So as we chat late this Monday evening, early Tuesday morning, depending on where you are, the Rockets, once again winners. They complete the Texas two-step Monday night, 109-93 winners over the San Antonio Spurs. Rockets improved to 53-14 on the year. Spurs fall to 37-30 for the Rockets. That's 19 wins in their past 20 games, and it now gives them a full two-game lead on the Golden State Warriors, 53-14 versus 51-16, with only 15 games left to play in the season. Plus, as most of you guys know by now, in all likelihood, the Rockets hold the tiebreaker, which what that means, over the final 15 games, the Warriors have to outplay the Rockets by three in order for Houston not to be the number one seed and have home court advantage throughout the playoffs. That seems relatively unlikely, to put it mildly. If the Rockets go 12-3, which is an 80% winning percentage, that's the clip they've been on most of this year, well, the Warriors, to match that, would have to go 15-0. And they still don't exactly know the status of Stephen Curry with his ankle injury. If the Rockets go 11-4, the Warriors have to go 14-1. The Rockets, they're in the driver's seat right now. They do have a tougher schedule coming up, a brutal three-game road trip at New Orleans, at Minnesota, at Portland, all three playoff teams, all in four nights. So you do want to have some buffer going into that. But as long as they have a lead coming off of it, the Rockets have a relatively mild closing stretch to the year. And with the advantage they've built on the Warriors already, and the Warriors still not knowing the status of Stephen Curry for the immediate future, the Rockets in a very good spot. As far as the Spurs game Monday evening, what might be most important and the biggest headliner, the return of James Harden. He was far and away the team's leading scorer with 28 points. He did it on just 6 of 17 shooting, so he certainly was not as crisp as Chris Paul. 18 points, 9 assists on a ridiculous 8 of 11 shooting. But Harden led the team in scoring, got to the line 14 times, made all 14, also had 6 assists, 6 rebounds, only 3 turnovers. So the turnovers substantially down from prior games. Largely, his subpar shooting is because of 3-point numbers, which is mirrored in the entire Rockets team, I would say. Rockets just 13 of 44 from behind the arc for below 30%. James was just 2 of 11, but ultimately it didn't matter. He got into the paint at will. Spurs not exactly a great interior defensive team to begin with, especially without LaMarcus Aldridge. Got to the line 14 times, made all of those. And for the Rockets, more than any one game, because certainly a Spurs team that tonight was without Kawhi Leonard, without LaMarcus Aldridge, without Manu Ginobili, the Rockets are simply the better basketball team. But beyond just any one game, especially one that you expected the Rockets to win, you want to make sure that your MVP frontrunner, after missing a game Sunday night with a sore left knee — Mike D'Antoni also mentioned before the game that James had a sore hand, we saw both of those kind of bumps and bruises happen in that tough Friday night game in Toronto — you want to see that James Harden is okay. And by and large, he was. He missed his threes. A lot of the Rockets did. I think that's okay, because the Rockets, they have had an incredibly busy week. This is their fifth game in the past 7 nights. 4 of those 5 were on the road, so you've had 4 plane flights in there. 2 of those plane flights, 2 and from Milwaukee and Canada. So they've had a ton of air miles, a ton of games. There's a lot of tired legs. That's why a lot of the threes in particular seem to short rim, in my opinion. Eric Gordon, one night after he had 26 leading the team in Harden's absence, shooting about 50% from the field, Eric Gordon tonight, 0 of 7, 0 of 6 from 3, just 1 point. And I think a lot of that's because not only did he carry much of the load on Sunday night, he was essentially your number one scorer in the absence of James Harden. He's carried a lot over the past week, so I thought Eric in particular, you could see, was a little fatigued tonight. Really, they all were. But the key for the Rockets was that if the threes weren't there, you want to see them drive, and that's why I'm comfortable that James is feeling well as far as the knee, the hand, whatever it may be, because if you're not feeling well, well, you're not going to drive to the rim. We saw explosion from James. We saw willingness to drive. We saw willingness to absorb contact. He did all of those things. But the only thing you can critique, the shooting percentage, 2 of 11 from 3, 6 of 11 overall, is not what you wanted. But overall, 28, 6 and 6, plus 17 in his 29 minutes, courtesy of the Rockets getting the blowout. No one had to play more than 31 minutes, and Chris Paul and James Harden only had to play 23 and 29, respectively. That's the kind of win you want to see the Rockets get down the stretch of the year so they can rest their star players. And with James, as we said, 28, 6 and 6, plus 17 in 29 minutes, a 16-plus point win that really was more dominant than that. The Rockets were up by 20-plus going to the fourth quarter, which was all extended garbage time. Most important thing beyond just the obvious getting a win, building up your margin versus the Warriors, yada yada, is that James Harden, even if it seems minor, if he misses a game, you want to make sure your franchise player, your MVP frontrunner, is himself. Well, other than missing a few threes, a couple of them went all the way down and somehow popped out. James Harden, he looked himself. He's still extraordinarily good at basketball. And more than anything else individually, that to me is the biggest takeaway from Monday evening at Toyota Center. Exhale if you had any concern about James Harden, the MVP frontrunner. He's back, and as the schedule gets more difficult in days ahead, Clippers Thursday, but then that three-game road trip I mentioned earlier looming, New Orleans, Minnesota, and Portland, three games in four nights, you're going to need James Harden to carry a lot of the load. Well, tonight he proved that even if he missed one game, and D'Antoni did say before the game, it was part injury, part just sheer maintenance, which the Rockets building lead in the Warriors makes it easier for them to do that, thankfully. That's something that they did not seem willing to do a year ago. Hopefully they've learned from their experiences and what seemed to happen in the playoffs a year ago, ironically against the same Spurs team. Whatever the case, James Harden, he was very good tonight. Rockets got the win, and big picture, considering the Spurs injuries, that's the biggest positive development that I think you could hope for and certainly take out of this game, given how it ended up, the 109-93 victory. Now, there's a few other storylines to take out of this game. We'll discuss them in the coming minutes. And then, final segment, I'm actually going to discuss the larger picture in the Rockets and Spurs, the two franchises, and why it's always interesting. Certainly, they played in the playoffs last year, but now the growing speculation, what if they play as a 1-8 matchup this year? Yes, I get it. The Spurs are 37-30, so it's theoretically possible. So I do want to address that, especially with the looming return of Kawhi Leonard. We'll do that in a few moments. For now, though, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at MyBookie, because without support of great sponsors such as those guys, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. And folks, the Rockets don't play again until Thursday, so after five games and seven nights, there's a bit of time off, but if you like basketball, there's still a ton to take in, certainly around the NBA, but also this week, it's March Madness. I'm excited about it because my Missouri Tigers, after 5 years off, they're finally back in the dance, but so are 67 other teams. There's going to be a lot of games starting tomorrow night and then escalating Thursday and Friday, and if you want to get in on the action, if you want to make a boatload of money, which a lot of folks are going to be making it this week. There's a lot of bets to be had, and if people are going to be making money, why not have it be you? And the best place, if you're going to make that money, is over at MyBookie. If you have not checked them out yet, and that's at mybookie.ag, this week is the perfect time to get in on the action because the madness of March is here. You lay down your money, and you can score big on college hoops. There's lots of great lines, lots of great prop bets. MyBookie has it all, and, well, I can testify to it. I've used them. They're reputable. They pay out quickly. So you go over to mybookie.ag and you can join me and thousands of other online players and start making your bets tomorrow. So if you're sick and tired of getting the runaround when it's about payout, then MyBookie, that's my place. It's simple. It's easy. And so that's where I suggest you go as well. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and our listeners. So that's why I urge you and all of our Locked On Rockets listeners to go to MyBookie because you win, you get paid. It's fast, and there are no hassles. You're wasting your time if you bet anywhere else. They even got in-game live betting. So if you miss the tip-off, if you don't like the way things are trending, well, you can make another bet during the game. It's very comprehensive. It's very simple. That's why I vouch for them. That's why I have them as a sponsor on this show. They're a great company. And the real perk, you guys, as my listeners at Locked On Rockets, y'all join now, and MyBookie will match your initial deposit with a 50% bonus just by using the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. In addition to that, you join this week, and there's even a chance to win their $1 million NCAA Bracket Challenge. So visit MyBookie today. That's at mybookie.ag. And from there, you play, you win, you get paid. So jumping back in to the program, I spent the first few minutes of the podcast talking about the return of James Harden. Never that worried about the sore knee, the sore hand, whatever it was, because the game against Dallas, A, it's an obvious maintenance candidate regardless with the high volume of games lately and this on a back-to-back. And with the Rockets immediately stating his availability Monday against San Antonio, it's not as if you had any concerns that the Rockets were worried about how James's knee would respond. If it's a real injury, or if it's a significant injury, I should say, I don't want to say there's no injury at all, but if it's a significant injury, it's like Steph Curry. You don't know exactly when they're going to respond because you have to wait and see what happens from day to day. You don't know when that return date is going to be. Whereas with the Rockets being confident James would play today, it's said all along that this was nothing you need to worry about, and tonight's performance proved it. So, to me, James's return, 28-6-6, 14-14 from the line, that certainly speaks well to what the Rockets were able to do tonight. But you beat a Spurs team that, even without Kawhi, even without Aldridge, even without Manu Ginobili, has a ton of pride, certainly, and the best coach in NBA history, arguably, in Greg Popovich. It's more than one player, and the Rockets were certainly that tonight. Chris Paul, 18 points, 9 assists, 8 of 11 shooting, 2 of 4 from 3. I discussed him a lot on Sunday night's postgame show after the Dallas game, but if there was any question about the loss to Toronto, and I came out of the Toronto game actually feeling pretty good about the Rockets with how they responded, if there's anything you could point out, it's that Chris Paul, 5 of 13 from the field, and he said himself in the locker room after the game, the Rockets have got to be more than James Harden. James needs more help. Well, the last two games, boy, has Chris delivered. 50% shooting last night, 24-12, plus 31 in Dallas. Tonight against the Spurs team that, by the way, planned their entire offseason around him last year, and fortunately he chose the Rockets instead for all of us. Chris tonight, 18-9, plus 19 in just 23 minutes, nearly 80% shooting from the field, 50% from three. Ever since he essentially called himself out after a substandard game in Toronto, and if not for that, the Rockets would probably be on a 20-game winning streak now. Well, Chris has responded as you expect a 32-year-old certain Hall of Famer to do. So kudos to Chris for that. But outside of Chris, who was 2 of 4 from behind the arc, the Rockets as a team were just 11 of 42. 11 of 40. So that's barely above 25%. That's not good. Yet, it's also explainable. Mentioned Eric Gordon, 0 of 6. I think he in particular was very tired after a lot of games in the last week, coming off the food poisoning and being asked to be essentially option one in the absence of James Harden on Sunday night, stepping into his place in the starting lineup, unfortunately responded. Eric just 1 point in his 23 minutes. But it wasn't just Eric. As a team, the Rockets weren't very good. Harden, 2 of 11, and I say not very good from 3. P.J. Tucker, 1 of 3. Trevor Ariza bounced back. That's nice to see. 1 of 10 in Dallas. Tonight, he was 5 of 9, 3 of 7 from 3, 15 points, 5 boards in his 31 minutes, plus 17. So it shows you that not that Trevor Ariza was worn down. He just had an off shooting night. A night 2 of a back-to-back and 5th and 7 nights, as we mentioned earlier. Trevor's still fresh, active defensively, making his shots. So if there was any concern about his 1 of 10 in Dallas, that's just more randomness having a bad night than anything to do with his body getting worn down. And Trevor played a game high in minutes tonight for the Rockets, and that was only 31. Kudos to the Rockets for, again, taking care of business. But other than those guys mentioned, Eric 0 of 6, excuse me, behind the arc, Joe Johnson 0 of 1, Gerald Green 4 of 11, which is actually pretty good for him. James 2 of 11. There were a lot of short rim shots tonight, and that's to be expected. We mentioned all the games of late, the plane flights, the mileage. James Harden, even though he didn't play in Dallas, he's certainly been on all the plane flights. He's been through the practices, all those sorts of things. And if there's one thing you're going to see that take a toll on, more than anything, it's going to be your three-point shot, because that's what your legs depend on most of all. So what do good teams do? Well, they adjust. And the Rockets, to their credit, the threes weren't falling. Well, they dominated other areas of the game. Points in the paint, 46-24. And it was only that close because the Spurs, in the fourth quarter, which was all garbage time, Rockets up by 20-plus going in, the Spurs cut that margin. The Rockets dominated points in the middle. And the Spurs, they didn't have LaMarcus Aldridge, they did have Pau Gasol, ultimately did not matter. And beyond that, the rebounding battle, 50-36. Clint Capella, he was a little sluggish in Dallas. I'm not going to say he was great tonight because he had 5 fouls in 26 minutes. That was uncharacteristic. Had a couple of silly moving screens, also a little ticky-tack in terms of the calls. Had a few things that were odd. He had 3 turnovers, including one, a dunk he was set up perfectly for his foot was barely out of bounds. Just a few uncharacteristic mental mistakes from Clint tonight. But in terms of toughness, Clint played 26 minutes against Pau Gasol, 13 points, 9 boards, 6 of 7 from the field. Yeah, you'll take that. Nene off the bench in 15 minutes, 6 points, 75% shooting. The series last year against the Spurs in the playoffs, the Rockets are a very different team than they were then. But in my opinion, it turned when Nene went out. Nene was very good in the middle. And beyond just the centers, yes, Clint and Nene did their jobs, but the Rockets, they took the ball to the rim with authority. Luke Bamute, 4-4. He did make 1-3 off the bench, but his other three shots, he took it aggressively to the rim. And with Pau Gasol in the middle, there's not a lot of rim protection in San Antonio. They took advantage of that. Trevor Ariza, 2-2 from inside the arc. He took it to the rim. And James Harden, we mentioned the shots weren't falling from outside. Okay. Well, he made 4 of his 6 shots inside the arc and also got to the free throw line 14 times and made all of those. So the Rockets, they understood that the legs were not all the way there, and they adjusted, especially against the Spurs team that, not that they're a great rim-protecting team to begin with, but especially without LaMarcus Aldridge, they just don't have the overall length that they normally do. And the Rockets took advantage. And even without their legs, even without the 3-point shots, well, they were able to win the game because of points in the paint, because of the rebounding battle. And those are the things that, even if your legs are not all the way there, and that sometimes happens over 82 games, well, if you're the Rockets, you're talented enough that certainly you have a level of toughness with your bigs. We mentioned Clint Capela and Nene. With James, he's just a freakish talent, the MVP frontrunner for a reason. He's able to absorb a pounding and certainly make his free throws. And then the shooting, the Rockets are such a good shooting team that even if they're not making their threes, opponents still have to respect the spacing enough that it still opens up the driving lanes so that guys like Luke Bamute, like James Harden, can still get to the bucket with relative ease. So that's when the Rockets, even without their normal legs, their normal three-point shooting below 30%, fifth game in 7 nights, back-to-back, getting back late from Dallas last night, all those extenuating circumstances, didn't matter. 103-93 winners. Rockets now 53-14 on the year. Spurs falling to 37-30. Rockets now 2 games clear of the Warriors with the tiebreaker, so effectively 3 games clear in terms of the margin they have before the Warriors could take the number 1 seed with only 15 games to go. So kudos to the Rockets. Not going to say it was a perfect game because of the lack of 3-point shooting, but the Rockets controlled it just the way you would expect them to. They methodically got the win. It's going to be a tougher schedule coming up, so the Rockets had to take care of business. And ultimately, even if it wasn't as pretty as some of their wins where they make 20-plus 3-pointers, the Rockets found a way and improved to 53-14 on the year. I think that's as much as we can discuss this game tonight because, as I mentioned, the Spurs without Kawhi, without LaMarcus Aldridge, without Manu Ginobili, Spurs aren't at the Rockets level, even at full strength, in my opinion. Certainly not without those 3 games, so I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill. This is 1 game out of 82. The Rockets had the advantage other than some tired legs, and they took advantage of it. Good for them. Bigger picture, I understand the Spurs, because of the extenuating circumstances, maybe in part because of those injuries, could be an uncharacteristically low seed in the playoffs, or they could even miss the playoffs altogether. That 37-30 record tied for the 8th spot, actually, with Denver and Utah, I believe. So yes, the Spurs could miss the playoffs, or they could be the 8th seed and somehow play the top-seeded Rockets in round 1. There's been some headlines about that made of late. So for the final segment of the show coming right up, we're going to transition from just talking about tonight's game, talking about that much-valued possibility of, oh, what if the Rockets play the Spurs with Kawhi Leonard as the 1-8 in the first round. So for the final segment of this show, I want to turn things a little bigger picture, because beating the San Antonio Spurs without LaMarcus Aldridge, without Kawhi Leonard, without Manu Ginobili, it's a game the Rockets, even on their 5th game in 7 nights with all the plane flights and the miles thrown in there, they should have won this game. The Rockets are simply a more talented team. I do want to address the bigger picture. We mentioned the record earlier. The Rockets now 2 games up on the Warriors in the race for the 1 seed by standings. They've each now played 67 games, 15 games left, along with holding the tiebreaker. So essentially, over the final 15 games, the Warriors have to outplay the Rockets by 3 to get the 1 seed. That's relatively unlikely, or I would say extremely unlikely. So the Rockets, barring a collapse, are the strong favorites for the number 1 seed right now. And that's generally all good. if there's one negative you can throw out there, and it's reaching, but I've heard it because, well, on social media, we all demand content, and so you want to go through all the scenarios, and given the loaded Western Conference these days, or I shouldn't say loaded, more the, I would say, compact Western Conference with so many teams in a tight bunch and so many possible playoff scenarios of the matchups, the one downside scenario for the Rockets that keeps getting out thrown out there a lot is, what if the Rockets play the San Antonio Spurs, but with a healthy Kawhi Leonard? What if the Spurs are the 8th seed and the Rockets are the 1? I've seen that question posed by a number of people, including some very respected ones on Twitter, and I get where you're coming from. With tonight's loss, the Spurs are 37-30 on the year. That's a 3-way tie for the 8th spot with the Nuggets and the Jazz. So could the Spurs be the 8th seed in theory? Yes, they could. They could also miss the playoffs altogether. Where I don't agree, and I think a lot of this breaks down, it's more of a theoretical-based argument than a practical one. Because yes, in theory, the Spurs could somehow end up the 8th seed. They do have a relatively difficult schedule coming up, including the Pelicans Thursday. That's presumably the return date for Kawhi Leonard to at least start getting back into the flow. The Warriors next week, etc., etc. The Spurs theoretically could be the 8th. And I guess, in theory, it's possible that Kawhi Leonard could round into form perfectly in time for the playoffs, and all of a sudden, the Spurs are a daunting opponent. Well, first things first, a lot of this is based on the fact that the Spurs beat the Rockets in the playoffs last year, and that's not really a good baseline, because these Rockets are far different than what we saw a year ago. That was a relative overachieving bunch, a group, a 55-win team, won 6 less than those Spurs, 55 wins, overachieved to get there, James Harden, no other stars. Now you have James Harden and Chris Paul, Luke Bamute, P.J. Tucker, Nene is healthy, Clint Capella has taken a step forward. We could go on and on about why this year's Rockets are different than last year's Rockets. So I think the, oh no, the Rockets might see the Spurs, at least in part, it's based on what happened last year between the Rockets and the Spurs, and that's a bit of an unfair baseline to begin with. But for a more practical standpoint, the reason I don't buy it is this. Right now, we mentioned the Spurs have 30 losses. That's tied with the Nuggets and the Jazz for the 8th seed. And I always tell you guys to go by the loss column, because even amongst teams at the bottom of the playoff picture, they still win more than they lose. So you're going to get more of an indicator based on the loss column than the wins. Well, folks, if Kawhi Leonard is good enough to where he is a really scary basketball player, the 4th seed in the West right now, the New Orleans Pelicans, who, by the way, the Spurs play on Thursday at home in Kawhi's projected return, have 28 losses. There's a whopping 2 games of separation between the 2 spot and the 4. So if Kawhi Leonard is so good back in MVP form, and he probably needs to be for them to catch the Rockets, then they're not going to be the 8th seed, or even the 7th seed for that matter, if you want to mount an argument that the Warriors go 15-0 somehow and take the 1 seed from the Rockets. The Spurs, if Kawhi Leonard is back, have a clear path to be much better than the 7 or 8. I can guarantee you guys, the Spurs do not want to be the 7 or 8. They do not want to play the Warriors or the Rockets in the first round of the playoffs. That's not something that Greg Popovich sees as in his team's best interest. So if Kawhi is that good, then I don't really see a scenario where they're the 8 seed. I don't think it's going to be, well, he's the guy he was earlier this year, but then magically in mid-April, he's going to snap his fingers and then all of a sudden be MVP candidate. Folks, if he was able to do that, he would have done that a long time ago. And quite frankly, if he's able to do that now, I don't think he's going to wait till the last couple of weeks of the year, because that would mean the Spurs risking missing out in the playoffs altogether. If he's able to be that guy, you'll see pretty quickly, maybe not the first game or two, but I would say within the first week or two, certainly. And if that's the case, the Spurs are going to be a good enough team to where they are not in that first-round mix. If the Spurs lose enough games to where they are in that 7 or 8 seed mix, then that's because the Kawhi Leonard that's back is not the MVP Kawhi Leonard, but the guy we saw earlier this season. Kawhi has played this year. He was nowhere near as effective, averages 23 minutes per game. His shooting percentages went down, especially from 3, just 16 points per game, nowhere near MVP caliber. And by the way, he was out there in December when the Spurs were blown out in Houston against these Rockets. So, to me, it's more of a theoretical discussion than a practical one. Could Kawhi Leonard, now that he's taken more time off, to rehabilitate that quad. And by the way, this is a chronic injury. This is not just a random thing that's cleared up. This is something that the Spurs have confirmed is going on multiple seasons now. So it's not really going to be easy to fix it without several months, probably an off-season of rest. But if Kawhi is somehow able to become that guy, there is small enough separation in the Western Conference to where the Spurs are not going to be the 7th or the 8th seed. If Kawhi is that scary, if he makes the Spurs go from what they are now to a team that can legitimately challenge the Rockets, who are not a 55-win overachiever they were a year ago, who are now going to be a mid-60s win juggernaut, the far and away likely number one seed. If Kawhi Leonard is enough to take these Spurs to that level, they're not going to be the 7th or the 8th seed. If the Spurs are the 7th or the 8th seed, it's either because Kawhi isn't playing at all, or he's the guy he was earlier this season. The Rockets already destroyed the Spurs, and the Spurs really were not far ahead of the pace that they're on now. So, to me, I understand that you can throw it out. It's always interesting on Twitter to throw out these scenarios of what if. And I know there's always a bit of fear amongst the Rockets, I'd say the entire NBA, the Spurs, because they built up over the last 20 years a lot of goodwill, a lot of respect over the Greg Popovich era. But in terms of this particular season, to me, that scenario is overblown. The Spurs at this point, either they are what they are, and that's a team the Rockets largely coasted by on Monday night. Now, granted, a little bit of an exaggerated game because, not in addition to Kawhi, there's no LaMarcus Aldridge, there's no Manu Ginobili, I understand that. Flip side, the Rockets are now 3-0 against the Spurs this year, and none of them have been close. So it's not like this was just a one-off in which the Rockets took advantage of injuries. Either the Spurs are going to be that same team, or Kawhi is going to come back, and I would guess relatively soon, you'll see that he's back in MVP form. And if that's the case, I'd bet a lot of money they're not going to be the 7 or the 8 seed. So while you see it a lot thrown out there by a lot of the talking heads, in reality, I don't really see that as a probable scenario for the Rockets to be afraid of in the first round. Wanted to end tonight's show with that, because in my opinion, when you see the Spurs, it's natural to think about it. We're about a month away from when the playoffs start, so I understand why it's a topic of discussion. In reality, I just think it's a little bit overblown. So on that relatively positive note, I will wrap up today's show. As always, thanks to you guys, our loyal listeners here at Locked On Rockets, for tuning in. If you want more coverage from me or, well, the show, the best place to find that in real time is on Twitter. I am at Ben Dubose. The show is at Locked On Rockets. Also, our email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. That's a great place to ask questions of us, make suggestions for the show, or inquire about becoming a potential advertiser, just as our friends over at MyBookie were today. Remember, go to mybookie.ag and enter the promo code LOCKEDONNBA. And from there, MyBookie will match your initial deposit with a 50% bonus. And if you do it this week, you can even enter for a chance to win their $1 million NCAA Bracket Challenge. So that's our sponsors over at MyBookie. If you're a supporter of the show, please support our sponsors. That's a big part of how we're able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. Other ways to do that, of course, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. Visit our website, LockedOnRockets.com, and leave us a good review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Subscribe to us. Leave the 5-star review. Those are all ways we can look attractive to advertisers and remain as financially viable as we are, as I said, the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. So once again, the Rockets get the win, an impressive one against the Spurs, despite some tired legs, despite the subpar shooting. Didn't matter. Rockets simply better than a LaMarcus Aldridge, Kawhi Leonard, and Manu Ginobili, less Spurs team. Well, they're probably better than the Spurs with all of them, but let's be real. This was not exactly a contest from the jump at Toyota Center tonight. Rockets largely toying with them, and fortunately came at a good time. The Rockets at the end of a 5-game and 7-night stretch and a back-to-back. Rockets prove their Texas superiority. They win 2 games in a row, both against their Texas rivals, Dallas and San Antonio, coming off the road trip, and the Rockets now at 53-14, now 2 games up on the Golden State Warriors from the number one seed in the Western Conference with the tiebreaker, so essentially they have to be outplayed by 3 games the rest of the way, only 15 to go, not to have that number one seed in home court throughout the NBA playoffs. So with the Rockets having a couple of days off now, they don't play again until Thursday, I think you can rest easy on that note, entering the final 15 games, and the Rockets, next time you see them Thursday, should be a lot more rested, playing at home against the Clippers, but not on a 5-game and 7-night stretch, and off a 4-game road trip, and a back-to-back, and all the airfare, or air miles, I should say, some airfare, but I'm sure the Rockets themselves aren't paying, at least the players, that is, but yeah, you see a much fresher Rockets team on Thursday. I would suspect it's going to be a long while without basketball relative because we've had so many games of late. But when you're coming off the wins the Rockets are and building the separation that they have in the Western Conference and really in the NBA, well, I think you can be happy for the next few days. And if you want any more basketball, if you need any more of a fix, then, yeah, watch some NCAA tournament games. Cheer for my Missouri Tigers, although they don't play until Friday night. That's just my humble request of you, unless you're a Florida State fan, in which case, stop listening. No, I'm kidding. Florida State fans are welcome to. Hopefully Mizzou beats them Friday night. But, yeah, and if you want to make some extra money on those games, then, yeah, feel free to visit our sponsors over at mybookie.ag and use that Lockdown NBA promo code. Until, well, I'm not sure if we'll be back Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm working on an interview on one of the off days, so stay tuned. We may be Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, depends on the scheduling of the interview that I'm lining up. But until then, folks, have a good evening, and thanks again for listening to Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball. Once again, Rockets now 53-14 on the year, only 15 games left, and unless they're outplayed by three games or the final 15, the number one seed and home court throughout the playoffs, it's theirs. On that note, have a good evening, Houston.